can bring up whatever you want. And all you have to do is dial in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Join us on our website over at freetalklive.com. You'll enjoy all the features on the site for free, unlike those other talk show hosts that want to charge you $5, $6, $7, $8 a month for their sites. I bet you'll find that we give away more on our site than they even charge you for. Go and see for yourself, though, at freetalklive.com. Once again, freetalklive.com. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. And here with you tonight, it's Ian.
And Allie.
A lot on the table. We've been discussing some international news here this evening. And one of the first stories we talked about was the Pussy Riot trial. It has finished, and the verdict has come down. It's a 2-year prison sentence for the women that basically engaged in a 40-second protest at Russia's head Orthodox Church in Moscow. Pretty crazy prison sentence, definitely designed to try to strike fear into the hearts of would-be protesters and folks like that out there. But of course, as is typical, when the people calling themselves the state crack down on activists, it just strengthens their cause in the same way that Obi-Wan Kenobi was famous in Star Wars for saying, strike me down and I'll become 10 times more powerful. Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing.
That's something that someone brought up at a Damos trial after the jury found him guilty. They said, well, there'll be 1 million more Damos after this. So,
well, I don't know if there's going to be 1 million of them, but
maybe that's an exaggeration.
There will be some more, and it's important to point out that that's, I think, valuable when one person's activism inspires others, when someone else's activism would never have existed had it not been for that first person and whatever horrible things the state has done to them. So when our friend Adamo was sentenced to 90 days in jail and then years of prison suspended over his head for a 5-year period. When that happened, it was on that same day that William Kostrick, who is one of the activists from Manchester, originally I think he's from Arizona, he spoke to the prosecutor at the very end of the trial. And it was after, the prosecutor's kind of packing up his stuff, getting ready to go. He was being interviewed by the mainstream media, answering their questions about the sentencing and all that. And as he finished up his conversation, William Kostrick spoke up and he said to the prosecutor that he better prepare himself because he was going to go to his house afterwards as soon as he left the courthouse. He was going to go home. He was going to record a conversation as he calls the police department and talks to them. Mm-hmm. Without telling the police department that they were being recorded, without telling the officer that he was being recorded, and that the prosecutor was going to have a lot tougher time fighting him in court. He said, see you in court.
Right.
And
because William Kostrick is a little bit, he seems more willing to use the court against itself, the laws, and actually apply legal arguments.
Right. So he's going to take a different perspective and a different tactic than Adamo did if he gets charged with the crime of wiretapping. And that's what Adamo was convicted of, 3 felony counts of wiretapping for doing the same thing, for calling government bureaucrats on the phone and recording those calls without telling them necessarily that they were being recorded. So then William Kostrick puts up a video of him allegedly calling these, calling the police department and speaking with an officer there for a few minutes. And I took the 2 videos, the one of him telling the prosecutor he was going to do it, and then the one that he put out of him actually doing it, put them together into the same video so you can kind of see the progression.
Mm-hmm.
And that video is available now for you to see over at freekeen.com. Once again, freekeen.com, the video of William Kostrick basically wiretapping the police, doing the same thing Adamo did. And the question is, will the prosecutor charge him with this? Will he charge him? Because if he doesn't charge him, then it proves that they're just inconsistently enforcing their law.
Mm-hmm.
Because the prosecutor is being sent a copy of this video.
Right.
It's not like he can pretend like he doesn't know it exists or like that he has no clue that this has happened.
William Kostrick saying, come at me, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
So my question is say, the prosecutor does come at William Kostrick, then what would happen if Will wins the trial? Then what will that mean for Adamo?
Nothing. Because it's not precedent. It's just a lower court decision.
So the court's allowed to be totally inconsistent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, until a higher court makes a final ruling on a matter, then pretty much. So feel free, go and check that out at freekeen.com. I think it's pretty exciting because William Kostrick was inspired to do this by the outrageousness of the state. Had Damo not been found not guilty, then William Kostrick probably never would have done this civil disobedience, which I consider to be a particularly heroic form of civil disobedience. It's basically the next person stepping up and saying, all right, now you can, like you said, come at me.
Right.
And then what happens if somebody else does it? And what happens if somebody else does it? What happens if in every town somebody does this? Then what? How much money, how much taxpayer money are the people that support this prosecution? Because they are out there. Like, if you looked at the comments on the Huffington Post article about Ademo, the wiretapping charges, the majority of them are pro-Ademo. They're mm-hmm. pro-accountability of the government. But there are some people that just hate activists. They just want activists to be punished. Well, how much money are those people willing to spend? Because, you know, right now it's just William Kostrick that has stepped up. But what if another 20 people did it tomorrow?
Right.
How many trials, how many court trials, which, you know, means they have to pay the prosecutor and pay the jury. The jury has to get paid every day that they're in there. How much time and money is the government people, are they willing to spend on this one particular issue?
Right.
And if you had those numbers, if you had those overwhelming numbers, then it would be over. Like, there would be no question. There would be no issue because they wouldn't be able to handle all those cases. They wouldn't be able to do that.
Right. And a lot of people, I think, at first I just thought, you know, why couldn't Damo just tell them, hey, look, I'm recording. But this is really about also investigative journalism, mm-hmm. where you could be undercover. And I just, it astounds me when I see videos in other states, because in other states you're allowed to go undercover and record public officials.
Right.
So I didn't realize that that was legal in so many places. But it's important for that to be legal because they're going to be two-faced about it. They're going to put on one face if they think you're a reporter, and they're going to put on another face if they think you're like a client or something like
exactly.
that. Exactly. So it's very important that people, that journalists be able to go undercover and pretend to be something, just for the sake of seeing how it normally goes.
How do these bureaucrats or business owners, mm-hmm. how do these people actually interact with folks when they don't think there's a camera around, when they have no idea that they're being recorded?
Because so do you think it should be legal to, like, go into a business and record people undercover?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's great activism. It's great journalism. Because
I can see the argument for, okay, well, you're a public official, so no right to privacy. But if you're a private person running a private business, do you have a certain right to privacy?
No way.
No.
I mean, you can't control what your customer is bringing in there unless you have a
right.
doorman searching people. I mean, you can have a set of rules, right? Like, you can say, like, I was at a movie theater recently when I was down in Florida that actually had a sign on the door saying that they reserve the right to search people's bags
mm-hmm.
for things like candy,
mm-hmm.
which seemed really kind of like fascist and scary, like, for a movie theater to do that. Like, really? I've got to subject myself to a search just to go and watch a movie in your theater? It's ridiculous. I mean,
exactly. You can go to another theater. And also, you know, if a business, say, like, it's within a business's right to be like, no recording devices allowed in this place, but that's going to make people skeptical. Like,
absolutely.
So it's sort of, they're shooting themselves in the foot. They might protect themselves from being, you know, having undercover reporters coming in, but it's not going to look
very good.
It's
almost like they're asking for it, though, in that case. I mean,
right.
if you're telling me I can't have a video device in your establishment, then I'm more likely to bring one in there because I'm going to want to know, like you said, what's really going on there. What are they hiding? What do they want to protect? And ultimately, while when you enter into a business, you should respect their rules,
mm-hmm.
I think that there's a certain level of public, let's see, what's the word, accountability that I think is necessary to be running a business. Like, if your business is open to the public and you're claiming certain things, then you should be able to be held accountable for that. And I wouldn't mind risking taking an undercover camera into a business that said no undercover cameras allowed or no cameras allowed or whatever. I wouldn't mind risking being banned from that business because ultimately that's the worst case scenario. I haven't damaged the business by bringing an undercover camera in there. There's no actual damages, right? So
I don't know if I like this no damages argument because...
Well, let's come back and talk about it here in a moment. It's 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. This is Free Talk Live.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-914-2995 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-914-2995. 1-800-914-2995. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. Bring up anything you want. 855-453, the SACL CAI toll free line. 1-855-450-3733. Join us on our website over at freetalklive.com and enjoy all the features on the site completely free. Once again, freetalklive.com. Here with you tonight is Ian.
And Allie.
Those site features, by the way, include archives. If you've missed a moment of Free Talk Live, we've got a whole lot of moments for you. They're all free, and they go back for years. 6 years worth. Almost 6 years. They go all the way back to late 2006. Over at freetalklive.com, you can download the last 7 days right from the top of the page. And then if you click into the archive section, that takes you all the way back. And then you can also go to the SoundCloud page. It's an alternative way to download the show and interact with. You can actually comment in the shows. You can comment at certain specific points of the show with SoundCloud. It's pretty cool. We're working on building SoundCloud into the website, so be patient. We will get that done at some point. But the SoundCloud page, you can link to it by going to freetalklive.com. Look on the left-hand side under Listen and Share. You'll find the SoundCloud link there. Just click that, and then anything you see on SoundCloud, on Free Talk Live SoundCloud, you can share easily on Facebook or Twitter or whatever other social bookmarking site you prefer. And that way your friends can see what you've enjoyed listening to. So go to freetalklive.com, grab some archives. They're all completely free. Now, just before we went away to the break there, Allie, you had said you're not so sure about this no damages argument. And what we were talking about, what brought this you know, that point up, mm-hmm. was the idea of, well, what if a business wanted to prohibit cameras in there? And there's certain things like, you know, like a concert, no flash photography is frequently a rule at a concert. And the idea is the flash photography can distract the performers on stage, perhaps creating a dangerous sort of an environment, or that they just want to prevent bootleg copies from coming out of the show, like a bootleg being some surreptitious recording that is then distributed online. Like the Grateful Dead were known for allowing, specifically encouraging bootlegging of their live shows, and kind of bootlegging was, you know, pre-file sharing, mm-hmm. a way of sharing concerts with other people. So yeah, there are certainly restrictions like that in businesses, and I had made the statement that if some business had a prohibition on secret recording in their business, I'd be wondering what's going on in there and why they're doing that, as you had suggested previously.
Right,
and
there's no incentive to do that.
I'd be willing to violate that rule just to investigate, do investigative journalism.
Would that go against your principles?
And, well, you know, that's a good question, right? So the question of privacy, property rights is at issue here, right? That the mm-hmm. idea that the property owner gets to decide how people behave and what they can do on their property. And I think that's a principle that liberty-minded people generally accept. And I think it's a good principle. But on the other hand, I think that there are limitations to it, right? Like, I don't want to go on a piece of property where I'm going to get a cavity search before I go on that property.
Right.
And, of course, I can choose to not go on that property as a result of that. But I think that if there's a business that's operating in a scumbag sort of a manner, in a, unethical manner, then I think that the rules are out the window at that point, and let's play hardball and see, you know.
Well, what's unethical?
Them.
Because that's sort of for the consumer base to decide, right?
Right, and how are they going to decide it if there's no evidence of it, right? And so if the rules of the business are to basically prevent any method of evidence gathering on their business practices within their business, then that's problematic.
Is there a buyer beware thing with that? I mean, okay, so assuming it's a situation where people have options, like a free market situation, mm-hmm. where, you know, it's not like a court where this is the only place I can possibly go to see the trial or whatever, this is the only option I have. You've got plenty of options for food. And right. then there might be like a scumbag business that you could go to. Then, you know, unless you just like their food and you really don't care about their ethics, you go there, but it's within their rights to be scummy if they want.
It is. And
it's in their rights to anal cavity search every customer that comes
true.
In there.
And if they're doing an anal cavity search, they're probably not going to catch any cameras coming in. But that's probably a prohibitively expensive thing to do, right? To have door security and to go through that sort of level of security check with every
plus,
single
who
customer
wants
that,
to go through that
comes in there. Right. So who wants to go to it? So it may just be, you know, a sign on the door, like no recording allowed on premises. And if you violate that rule, yeah, technically you're violating their private property rights. But I think that, some rules, there are certain extenuating circumstances wherein they can be broken.
So
and
what if
broken
I
broken for a good reason?
What if I had a business and I said, $3,000 fine for anyone caught with a camera in here. I'm within my rights to make that rule, right? And if you violate it, then you technically knew better.
That's an interesting question, right? So, like, just by walking through the doors of a premises, does that mean that you become liable for breaking those rules? I don't think so. I mean, unless you've actually consented with, like, a signature on a contract,
mm-hmm.
then it can't be said that you could understand those rules, right? Because what if you're blind? What if you didn't read the rules? You didn't feel the Braille version of it before you walked in.
Yeah, I guess there's like no blind people allowed. I mean, I guess there's just like little. Okay, I should also mention that there's no incentive really whatsoever for a business that has competitors to do this to their customers. There's really no one. I've never been in a business.
Well, no, I mean, we're talking about ridiculous scenarios. Right. Though, right?
But and who's within their rights in these situations? And I don't think that you can just say, well, let's figure out what the damages are, and then we'll figure out what retribution should be. Because I think that, you know, you can set up whatever crazy rules you want to. You can fine people for breaking the rules on your own property if you want. I don't think it makes sense to do that as a business plan.
You can claim that they owe you money, but just like with the TSA sending you a fine, what happens if you don't pay it? I mean, if there's no...
Get a small claims court or whatever.
Yeah, but if there's no contract, then how is your claim going to work out in small claims court?
I think that there's a contract when you and walk onto someone else's property. There's a contract there.
I think there's an understanding, but I don't think it's a contract. Like, there's common rules, there's common occurrences, common understandings, mutual understandings. Like, you know, if you walk into the grocery store, it's expected that you're going to stop at the cash register and pay for a product before you walk out of the grocery store. But there's no rule on the door that says you have to do that, right? So it's just a common understanding that that's how business works. Mm-hmm. If there's somebody in there that is like a complete disconnect from society, or maybe they've just, you know, maybe it's Encino Man. Somebody's just woken up from, a thousand years of slumber, and they have never seen a cash register before, and they don't know what the hell is going on. How can they possibly be held liable for not understanding what those rules were? Or what if they do something differently? What if they just decide they don't want to stop at the cash register, throw a $100 bill on the counter, more than covers the cost of the items in their cart. They just throw a $100 bill on the counter and walk out of the door. They've paid for all the items in their cart, but they didn't do it in the way they were supposed to. Mm-hmm. The way you're supposed to is by taking it through the register, scanning each product code so they know their inventory numbers are right and they know which products have sold and, you know, how much they need to restock. These are the reasons why people go through these processes.
Right.
But ultimately, they haven't haven't defrauded anyone. Right? They've paid for their products, but they didn't pay for it in the way that is expected, by the way that is common. But again, all those rules aren't spelled out. There's not a huge list of rules on the front door to which one is agreeing
before walking in. I think that's also another thing to look at and contrast the court system and the private system, because the private system doesn't have to spell out the rules. They make it obvious. They try to make it obvious for the consumer what they're supposed to do, what they're expected to do.
855-450-FREE, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Maybe so, but if I walk in without shoes on, have I actually caused any damages? More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
What's the difference in all these online emergency food stores? The difference is Deseret. DeseretFoodStores.com has the best price on a one-year supply of restaurant-style gourmet food starting at just $695 per 875 servings. For the highest quality food with a 30-year shelf life, experience the Deseret difference at DeseretFoodStore.com, spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, or call 801-444-1444. DeseretFoodStore.com. Food for now, food for life.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves and dial in toll-free at 855-453. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website and head over to freetalklive.com. Enjoy all the features that we give to you there. They're all completely free. We've got the bulletin board system wherein you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners. It's all free. bbs.freetalklive.com will take you there. That's bbs.freetalklive.com. And Adamo Freeman, co-host of this radio program, founder of TopBlock.org, is still in jail. He's going to be in jail probably for at least the next month, maybe another month beyond that. There's still some question. Last night we thought we'd had it resolved because Pete Ayer from TopBlock.org was told that he was going to be in jail for like 60 days at least by the court. But Kate, who is Adamo's girlfriend, says that she believes the judge only intended for him to be jailed for the next month or so. So there's still some question as to exactly when he's going to be released. But either way, he's in for several more weeks, and that means that you can write him while he's in jail through mailtojail.com. Go to mailtojail.com, and it's also possible not just for you to send mail to him through that website, but also for you to donate directly to his commissary account and any other activist that happens to be jailed from the New Hampshire area, of course, because mailtojail.com just, you know, we want to focus on New Hampshire. They want to focus on New Hampshire because that's where activists who love liberty should be moving. So you can, again, support mailtojail.com and their great work. And if you need optical transceivers for your networking equipment and you want to support liberty at the same time, you can buy them from memorydealers.com because it's memorydealers.com that sponsored that message for mailtojail.com. So let's continue here. We'll get right into your phone calls, but I want to make sure that, Allie, we've kind of fleshed out this discussion about rules and private property. And as somebody who respects private property, I generally am somebody that respects the rules until the point where I think that they become ridiculous and there could be some way to still violate those rules while still appearing to not. right? So like with a hidden camera, with the scenario we were talking about was that there would be a business that says no cameras allowed. And then the question would be, well, why? Why are they banning cameras? Is it because they're treating customers poorly? What would happen, you know, if you went ahead and brought a camera in there anyway and surreptitiously recorded? Yes, it would be a violation of that person's private property rules. And I think worst case, if they discovered you violating their rules, they would be able to tell you, hey, look, buddy, you can't come back in here ever. Because you violated our rules. And
do you think they could claim ownership over the video footage?
I don't think. I mean, it would make an interesting case, right? I don't think so. Not legitimately. Hmm. Because I don't think that it's a legitimate contract. I think it's just an agreement. I think that when you go into a business, there are certain behaviors that are acceptable within society, and that's why people pay at cash registers rather than just throwing money on a counter and walking out the door.
Right.
There's no rule that says you can't do that, but it's just accepted. You know, when you're growing up with your parents, they teach you how to go to a grocery store. If you hadn't been taught those things, you would have no clue. I mean, can you imagine walking into a grocery store
that.
And having no idea what the hell is going on?
I don't know. I think that they try to. I think they make it obvious enough that even if you were Encino Man, you would get it.
How is that obvious?
It is obvious because one, you see other people doing it.
That doesn't mean anything.
Two, there's like a line. It's designed. It's like pathfinding or whatever they call it in interior design, where they design it so that it's supposed to be intuitive what you're supposed to do.
I don't agree with you at all. The only reason why you think it's intuitive is because you were raised to understand.
No, yeah, I get that I would be biased and not really know what it's like to not know.
You might just walk in there and wonder, why are all those people waiting in that line? What's all that about? Well, there's all that food over there. I'm going to go take some of it and walk out. I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just talking about somebody who's not acclimated to a typical social environment. They're not under an obligation. But, you know, if that person was to walk out with the food, they would be stealing, and they should be stopped, and that food should be reclaimed. And if they've already eaten it, then they should be, you know, making that person whole from the food they stole. And that would be the time to explain to them, hey, look, you just can't do that. Not in this society. It doesn't work that way. And the same thing with throwing money on a counter and just walking out. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You stop them at the door and say, look, we're glad you paid. That's cool, but, you know, you still violated the rules of the establishment. Next time you're here, you need to go ahead and stop at the cash register and, you know, explain to them why, and then maybe the next time they'll do that. And if they don't do it right the next time, at some point, you know, a bad customer needs to be stopped from coming back, and, you know, you need to stop them. So here's one more example. There are some bars that prohibit weapons from, you know, there are people that are going into those bars from possessing weapons. And there's a good reason for that, right? Like, nobody wants a drunk fool playing with a firearm or a knife or something like that in their bar. Makes sense. But what if somebody really feels like they need to protect themselves? Is it wrong for them to concealed carry a weapon in a way that no one in the bar will ever know is there?
Yeah, I think that there's like a, I don't think that all sins are created equal. I think that it is wrong. Kinda. Like, it's wrong. Yeah.
But would you give
technically
them a pass
it is
on
wrong.
It?
I wouldn't be like, I'm going to not be friends with you anymore
would
because
you, snitch,
you did
you
that.
You wouldn't snitch on them or anything
like
that?
No, I wouldn't snitch. But what I would say is that
would
this
you,
whole
would
idea...
Would you exhort them to go outside with the weapon and put it in their car if you found out?
I would be like, hey, do you know that you're not supposed to have guns in here? And if they said, yeah, but I don't care, I'm going to carry it anyway, I'd just be like, okay, you know, it's not my responsibility. But what the idea behind what you're saying is that... Your will to be on this person's private property and do what you want to do despite the rules is more important than their rules. You wanting to be there is more important than them enforcing their rules.
Well, I think you're right, Allie, that ultimately if you don't want to have, you know, those rules enforced on you, you shouldn't go there. I think that that's, you know, the ultimate position. But I don't blame somebody who feels like, well, I mean, I appreciate their rules, but I'm not going to go out of control with my drinking, and, you know, I'm just going to have a drink or two, and I am, you know, afraid for my life because there's some crazy madman that's after me or whatever. I mean, we're totally speculating here.
Right, but I could easily say, well, then what are you doing in the bar that doesn't allow guns?
Right.
Because that's where he's going to look for you, man. If he sees you in there, he's going to come for you. Because
exactly.
He knows the rules of that bar. It's another thing is that...
But, you know, it's a risk versus reward thing, right? Because ultimately... You are violating their rules, but what if some crazy guy comes in with a gun and robs the bar while you're in there? You're the one person with a gun. You violated
the
bar's.
Day.
You violated the bar's rules. Ultimately, the bar owner can tell you later, "Hey, man, you violated my rules. You're not allowed to come back here." But maybe you helped somebody stay alive in that particular case. So you're right. From a principal perspective, you are absolutely right.
Look, Ian, you have a sign that says no shoes in the house, and yeah. I violate that all the time. So obviously I'm not principled either.
That's not even my sign. See, I didn't even put that sign there. My old roommate put that sign there. I didn't even know it was there. No, I did know it was there, but I'd actually totally spaced on it. I didn't realize it was even still there.
Yep, it's still there.
So, is that a rule? Right?
I don't know.
Like, if I, as the property owner, didn't know the sign was there, is it a rule?
I would assume that the first time I saw it, I followed it because I didn't want to get called out for it. But then I saw other people. It's one of the things, too, is if you see other people violating a rule, it's kind of like, well, no one else is following it anyway.
Mm.
So I think that there is a certain...
I don't want to get on a slippery slope, though, right? Like, that's, maybe the position I'm taking here is putting me on a very slippery slope.
No one reads the terms and conditions on those stupid software programs.
Those aren't real contracts.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They're one-sided. There's no place for anyone else to sign on it. It's not a real contract. You're not contracting with another individual. It's a corporate agreement that is essentially written by lawyers and has all kind of language that's ridiculous. Like, a lot of those terms of service frequently have language that say, we reserve the right to modify these terms of service at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the language says... And sometimes they'll say they'll notice you, and sometimes they won't. Sometimes it's your responsibility to check on our terms of service every now and then to make sure we haven't changed them, to say, we own you, Allie. I mean, if Microsoft's terms of service say, we own you, when you open up Windows, does that mean they really own you? No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And nobody reads those terms of services anyway. Do you?
No. South Park did do a funny episode about it, though.
All right, so more coming up here, 855-450-FREE. You're certainly welcome to comment on rules. Is there a point at which, as a principled-minded person who supposedly respects other people's rules, is it all right at a certain point to break them? 855-450-FREE. Are there extenuating circumstances that can make breaking private property rules acceptable? 855-450-3733. You take control here in the remaining moments of Free Talk Live, which are imminent.
Be honest, will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait till you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-441-5707. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player, without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff, or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-441-5707. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-441-5707. That's 1-800-441-5707.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients. Nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Alex Jones here with a great way to beat the blackouts, get off the grid, and generate your own supply of electrical power. Folks, with what's been going on in this country, I don't have to tell you about the power grid and just how vulnerable it is. That's in the mainstream news every day. Millions of people have lost their power in the last few weeks because of dangerous storms and killer heat that's pushing the grid beyond its capacity. I've always said that every family needs to be ready for blackouts. And if you don't have a backup system in place, I've got a great opportunity for you. Right now, our good friends at Solutions from Science are offering huge savings on their best-selling Power Hub unit. In fact, I think it's the best deal I've ever seen them make. It's literally thousands of dollars in savings. Remember, these backup systems don't need gas because they're solar-powered. That means there's no dangerous fumes and no noise. InfoWars listeners can get all the details at beattheblackouts.com. That's beattheblackouts.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA, and are built to last a lifetime, using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel, and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Control of the airwaves, toll free at 855-450-FREE. Now, look, if you don't get in tonight, because all of a sudden the phone's blown up here in the remaining segment of the program, if you don't get in tonight, we do this thing 7 nights per week, so you can always call right at the top of the show tomorrow night, and we'll get you in, of course, anytime you want. Whatever's convenient for you, we're on 7 nights a week from 7 to 10 Eastern at night, and you can, of course, join us online as well at freetalklive.com, and you can join us in the real world in New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project. Allie, that's the reason you and I are here together, is because of the Free State Project. You having moved from Alabama, I moved from Florida, and we are both activist types, and we are getting active for freedom, hopefully to achieve it in our lifetime with thousands of other people. Over 1,000 people are here now as part of the Free State Project. Over 12,000 people have already pledged to move to New Hampshire. So we've got to get to 20,000. So we're at 12,500 right now. We've got to get to 20,000. So you could be of assistance if you love the ideas of liberty and you're willing to actually do something to achieve them in your lifetime. Go to freestateproject.org to learn more about it. Get signed up. That's freestateproject.org.
It's better than college.
Well, you know, college is probably right for some people, but for me, it was a waste of time and money.
Yeah, I just avoided it altogether.
Let's go to the phones. Let's take Benjamin's call here in Northern California. You're on Free Talk Live. Benjamin.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you've discussed it already, but tomorrow is Lemonade Freedom Day.
Yeah, we actually had Derek J. and Eddie Free call last night from Washington, D.C., which is kind of the hub for Lemonade Freedom Day, which will also be Lemonade and Raw Milk Freedom Day. And the festivities have already started there. I know that up here in Keene, there was going to be a lemonade stand on Main Street being operated by a very young lady. And so, yeah, they're happening all over the country. I think Philly's got some going on. And Lemonade Freedom, is it .com is the website?
Yeah, I believe that's the main website. And yeah, the main activism, I guess, taking place in D.C. But I just want to encourage people, you know, setting up a lemonade stand, incredibly easy. And even if you don't want to start a lemonade stand, support one. You know,
yeah, go and buy some lemonade. That's what I intend to do tomorrow. I intend to buy some lemonade and kind of hang out, at least for the beginning of the stand, just to make sure it's not aggressed against by the police at that time, because we just had a guy call tonight saying that during last year's Lemonade Freedom Day, he was arrested for disorderly conduct and resisting arrest just because his son was doing a lemonade stand, and he ended up getting 5 years probation.
Holy crap. Yeah, I hadn't heard about any arrests except for Meg and a couple other activists there in D.C.
Yeah, me neither. It was the first that I'd heard of it as well, but it's pretty outrageous, and it just goes to show that even in something as innocent-seeming as a lemonade stand, if the state agents want to aggress against you, they will. So,
well, I know I'll be at a lemonade stand that's being operated by adults.
Then it's even more likely that it will be aggressed against at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting to me because where the people were talking about, the girls who are doing it tomorrow in Keene, they happen to be doing it on my work's property.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking to my boss about it, and I was like, oh, lemonade freedom, yeah, it's really important because a lot of people's lemonade stands have gotten shut down, and there's also, like, raw milk involved. And you could tell that she started to get a little bit confused, or she was like, wait, what is this really about? Because I thought it was about kids selling lemonade. And I was like, well, you know, kids are adults, you know, the principle's the same either way. And she's like, well, if a little kid is selling lemonade, then of course you should let them go. But if an adult's trying to compete with my business, then she acted like, all of a sudden, now call the cops. And
this was whether or not it was on her property.
Oh, okay. So, of course, if it was on her property, she's not going to have someone competing, you know, right, with what she considers her customer base. But, yeah, like, she made it sound like, you know, if you are an adult, then you have to follow all the same rules as I do. And, you know, that's just the typical attitude. She's not an evil person, yeah, or by any means. But
it's slave-on-slave violence.
Yeah.
It's a cycle of abuse. Since the business owner that is licensed and all that has been abused by the state, they want everybody else to jump through the same hoops and suffer the same abuse as well. And it's a sickness. It really is. Benjamin, let us know how it goes. Hopefully you won't end up behind bars tomorrow, and I thank you for the call tonight. Let's talk to Matthew, listening in Connecticut. Matthew, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Allie.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on the questions that you had posed.
Yes, sir.
First one, about the, as far as bringing weapons into a place that has, like, say, an anti-weapon policy.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion on that one is that you are liable once it's detected that you have a weapon, basically, that you should suffer the consequences. Well, I guess I'm saying, like, once you're found out, you are guilty. If you manage to conceal it effectively, then I don't see how there's any problem there. But you know, say you're not
is
very
it,
good.
Is it wrong? Is it wrong to do that? Like, I get what you're saying, that once you're detected, then you're in violation and all that. And I think at that point, the best that the business can do is just remove you from the premises because you don't owe them any money for violating their rule.
I think that it is wrong because I think what you're consenting to is preserving the illusion that you don't have a weapon. I think you should have to commit to, you know, if that's their stated policy, you should have to, make the situation should seem like you are, because the other people in there with you, they're under the understanding that you are not going to have a weapon. So if you sort of violate their sort of sense of no one has a weapon in here, I think that's when you're infringing on their rights.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it really also depends on, you know, whether or not whether it's wrong or not also would depend on the your mindset at the time, right? So, like, what if you're just so acclimated to carrying a weapon that you forget you even have your weapon on you, and so therefore you didn't carry a weapon in there on purpose.
Does intent matter when it comes to private property rights and rules?
I think probably intent does matter, right? Because because the question was, is it wrong to violate the rule? And technically it is wrong. But what if you don't know you're violating the rule? What if you have forgotten that you even are carrying the weapon on you? It's just so well concealed, you spaced out, or you've got something in your pocket that you didn't remember putting there earlier in the day, or maybe it was there from a previous day. You didn't even know it was there when you put your clothes on in the morning. Is that then wrong at that point?
I would be more with Allie, like, in this case, just being oblivious of the policy would really be no excuse. I think you have to seem, when you're in there, like you're not armed, if that makes sense. The other question you had asked was about the income tax, and is it hypocritical to, you know, say, oh, this is wrong, and then pay it? I think that's not wrong, but I did have, like, a psychological answer.
Well, wait, just because it's hypocritical doesn't mean it's wrong. So if you are saying income taxes are bad and you're paying them, you're not wrong for doing that. That's just your self-preservation. You're just trying to protect yourself from going to a prison cell. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not putting anyone else in danger by not paying
it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right. But is it hypocritical?
Is it hypocritical was his question. And I would say the sort of psychological answer, I think, is like, if that individual who's violating it, right, is comfortable with handling the consequences of taking that stance, then I think there is a little hypocrisy if for some reason, you know, they're saying, oh, this is all bad, and they're not willing.
So their comfort level is a factor as to whether or not it's hypocritical?
Well, I think so, because it's almost like if they have, say, the means to go about, you know, violating this, and then for whatever reason don't, I do think that's hypocritical, but I think then if they're a coward, they could claim that it's not, because they could just say, look, guys, I'm too scared. But if you're not scared, and you won't do it, I think maybe hypocrisy wouldn't be the right word, but there is something there. It's like, it doesn't add up. It's like, okay, you're
inconsistency. Would inconsistency be better? Because I think you're probably right.
That's a better word.
Matthew, thank you for the call and the thoughts. I appreciate hearing from you. And I think, you know, Allie, you probably are right about this. I'm looking at the definition of hypocrisy. And let's see, from Collins English Dictionary at dictionary.com, the practice of professing standards, beliefs, etc., contrary to one's real character or actual behavior, especially the pretense of virtue and piety. So I think you can make the argument that by saying you're against taxes while still paying them could be seen as inconsistent, but not necessarily hypocritical.
It's like saying, I want to stop robbery, but then if you get mugged, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't turn out. If you turn over your wallet, then you're obviously not against robbery.
So we are out of time for tonight. And, of course, the conversation continues online at freetalklive.com. You can join us there and join Allie on her radio program, ladiesinkeen.com. That's ladies in K-E-E-N-E. We'll see you tomorrow night online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money, controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit weusecoins.com.
Unsure about what to do with your investments? You need to safeguard them and watch them grow. Tired of losing money in the stock market or earning low interest rates on CDs and money markets? Well, here's something you need to learn about. Annuities. Annuities are great, safe, and guaranteed. Call the Center for Sound Consumer Advice for your free annuity guide filled with vital information. Call 1-800-819-6545 right now. Learn about all the amazing benefits annuities have to offer. Call 1-800-819-6545.
I'd seen the longevity products work for many others, and so I bought a bunch of them, started using them, had a little bit of results, but I wasn't following the regimen every day. But Aaron Dykes in my office did and lost more than 60 pounds. When I saw those results, I said, I better follow my own advice. I started taking the longevity products, and it's been incredible. 37 pounds in 2 months. Our bodies are amazing, and God gave us an incredible gift. But if our body doesn't have the tools it needs, all of the vitamins, all of the minerals, and the other key essential trace elements, we're not going to be healthy. Folks, this isn't hype. I only bring to my listeners products that I've tried myself and I truly believe in. And the amazing supplements available at InfoWarsTeam.com have certainly delivered my life. I hope you'll give them a try. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.